Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music. What a blessing it has already been just being in the house of the Lord this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of John, the Gospel of John in chapter 1. John chapter 1. Powerful passage of Scripture. I think that the Lord would have us to be right here this morning, especially after what we've heard and been ministered by to through the singing of the choir and the special music. Just been a tremendous blessing. John chapter 1. If you'll go ahead and stand with me, and then as I read, you follow right along with me. We're going to begin in verse 1 and read down to verse 14. John chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, what a blessing it has already been just being in this place. I thank you, God, for this opportunity that you make available to all that are here and for them to take advantage of it to be here this morning. Thank you for what we've already received. Now, Father, as we look into this passage of Scripture, I know that you have a message for each one that's here today. I just pray that you would empower the teaching and the preaching of thy word. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In the beginning of time, God created man. After man sinned, sin reigned on the earth. And around 6,000 years ago, God destroyed the face of the earth and saved alive Noah and his family. From Noah's eldest son, Shem, we find the ancestry of Abraham, who was called out by God to establish a chosen people who would later be known as Israel, to represent God. Through the prophets, God revealed to Israel the coming of the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And John in chapter 1 in verses 1 through 14, what we've just read, records a story of Christ's coming. And in this story, we find three things that I want to present to you this morning. We find fact, we find tragedy, and we find help. First of all, biblical fact. Verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then in verse 14, the Bible says, "And the Word," the very same that was with God and that was God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. So two facts that I want to present to you here to start with. And the first fact is found in verse 14 when it says, the Word was made flesh. And we celebrate the day that this took place on our Christian calendars on December the 25th. Understanding there was a day when the Word, God, became man. No one can deny the reality of Christ's birth. I mean, it's history. We look back to some 2,000 years ago, and this was the beginning of a life that impacted the world, possibly like nothing else has ever impacted the world. But God made sure that we would understand that Jesus Christ was born. He recorded it. In the book of 1 John in chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, let me just read this to you. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9, it says this, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God. This is what God has brought to us, which he hath testified of his Son. He was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. The record or the recording. See, God made sure that it was recorded. He had it written down and recorded and preached around the world. This is the 21st century. For some 2,000 plus years, what God had recorded about the birth of Jesus Christ has been preached, and in this 2018, it is still being preached around the world. That's a fact. You can go anywhere around the world today, and somewhere in that country, somewhere amongst those people, the gospel is being preached. On this very day, on this Sunday, around the United States of America, the same gospel is being preached. That ought to be an encouragement to every born-again believer. To everyone that assembled here today in this independent fundamental Baptist church, to hear the Word of God being preached, to understand that God recorded the birth of Jesus Christ, and he preserved it, and he has it being preached, and has been doing so for over 2,000 years. That's a fact. That's a fact. The second fact we find here in verse 1 and verse 14 combined is that this preaching of Jesus Christ is the preaching of God being manifested in flesh. God became man and walked on earth in human flesh. Now, if you would understand who God is, would you understand the magnitude of who God is and what God has done? It goes beyond the human comprehension of who God is. You can't fully understand that which is infinite. A finite mind cannot fully understand, but God has recorded that the things in the Bible for us to understand how great and powerful Almighty God is. He's the creator of all things. And this creator was the Word, and this Word became flesh. The only way that we can fully understand what it says there in verse 1 when it says, and the Word was with God. And then at the very same time, the Word was God. The only way that we can fully understand that is the Trinity of God. The Trinity of God is explained there, the understanding that in the beginning, God created man in His image after His likeness. And He uses a plural form in creating humanity. And that plural form is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. For the New Testament church, God says, I want you to be reminded of this on a regular basis. And so when you get somebody saved, when somebody gets saved and receives Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, I want you, and this is something I'm giving to the church to do, two ordinances of the church, and that is baptism and the Lord's Supper. And when you baptize, I want them to identify with who I am. You baptize them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. So that there is no question as to who I am. I am God in three persons. That is a Trinity of God. Jesus is God. And because He is God, He's worthy not only to be worshiped, but He's worthy to be made Lord of our lives. In Philippians in chapter 2, this is fact. If He's God, then He is worthy to be Lord of our lives. He is worthy to be looked to. He's worthy to be yielded to. He's worthy to follow whatever instructions that He might give us. The book of Philippians in chapter 2, verse 9. The Bible says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. That is the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Spiritual and physical, understanding that Jesus Christ was God and that every tongue, and this will take place one day, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether you make Him Lord of your life or not, that doesn't take away the fact that He is Lord, whether He's your Lord or not, He is still Lord. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, it's fact that He was born some 2,000 years ago. God became man. Jesus Christ is God. And because that is a fact, then there should be nothing that would keep us, and when we understand this, to looking to Him as Lord and Savior. He's our Savior. He died for us. He paid a sin debt that we owed and couldn't pay. He's our Lord. Praise God, I am proud to stand here and tell you that Jesus Christ is my Lord. I bow to Him. I worship Him. I look to Him for His instructions. I look to Him for His guidance. I look to Him for strength. Because He is Lord of my life. And He's worthy. The fact. The tragedy found in this story. Go back with me. John chapter 1. Is verse 5. The light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. The Bible says in verse 11. He came unto His own. And His own received Him not. Almighty Creator God, loving humanity, came for us and we rejected Him. The tragedy is they comprehended it not, meaning that He was rejected. He was rejected first by Israel, the Jews, in whom God had chosen in the Old Testament to represent him, and he came as their Messiah. Now, he came for the whole world, for God so loved the world, all humanity. But he first of all came as a Messiah. The Bible says in Romans in chapter 1, this is a tragedy that we need to understand today. Romans chapter 1 verse 16, for I am not ashamed, Paul here saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, to preach that. And he says, for it is the power of God unto salvation. There's no other salvation. It's what God has established as the authority and the power, the only way by which someone can be saved. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first. To the Jew first, because he came as a Jew. He came as the Messiah. And Israel, the Jews, first of all, rejected their Messiah. Yeah. What a tragedy. He was rejected. What they rejected, the Bible says in verse 3, John chapter 1 and verse 3, all things were made by him, but without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. They rejected Jesus as a creator who gave them physical life. And then they rejected Jesus as the Savior who gave them spiritual life. What a tragedy. If it were not for Jesus, there would be no life. Some 2,000 years ago, that baby that was born of a virgin, laid in a manger in Bethlehem, if it was not for that baby, what that baby represented, that baby represented God with us. If it was not for that baby, the person of Jesus Christ, we would not have any life. We would not have physical life, nor would we ever have spiritual life that would be eternal life. And he came. Fact. In tragedy, he was rejected. John in chapter 8 and verse 12, it says this. Let me just read it to you. John chapter 8, write these verses down, go home and study them. But verse 12, it says this. Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. That's reason enough to follow him. He can reveal everything to us. He can make it all, he can make understanding of everything. He can reveal to us that which we need to have revealed to us about ourselves, about this life, about eternal life, everything about the past, present, and future. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You see what people needed then? And what people need now is to come into the light of Jesus Christ. Yeah. But tragically, they rejected him then, and many are rejecting him today. Many are too educated in human wisdom to believe in the simplicity of God's word. And they rejected and crucified their Messiah. Yeah. But there's one more part I want to share with you this morning. Not only the fact, not only the tragedy, but probably the greatest news of all, the help. In John chapter 1, Bible says, verse 12, but as many as received him, the Gentiles received him. They believed the preaching. They believed him to be the Savior. This Jewish faith passed on to the Gentiles, which represents the rest of the world. the Jew first, then the rest of the world. The Jews rejected him. The Gentiles received him. And today as well, but as many as received him, to them gave he power, the authority, the blessing, the ability to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's what it takes. It takes belief in who Jesus is and what he came to do. He's paid your sin debt. If you believe that, you can receive him and have the light. Not only in this physical life, but you can have the light for everlasting, eternal life. The help. Verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. Look right here. Full of grace and truth. Amen. Can I tell you, that's what everyone needs. Without exception. All humanity, people around the world, no matter what's going on in their life, all people need grace and truth. Amen. Grace is love, kindness, unmerited favor. The Bible says Jesus, going all the way back to that birth, throughout his life on this earth, to where he's at today at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us, is full of grace. Amen. Amen. God took on a human body so that he might pay our sin debt, because he was full of grace. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. God took on human flesh so that that Christ could live a sinless life and shed the only blood that would be able to wash away our sins. You see, there's been a lot of crucifixions, but there was only one crucifixion of pure blood. He was not, the blood of man was not flowing through his veins. It was the pure blood of God. That's why it's so important that we understand he was virgin born. He did not have a human father. God was his father. He had sinless blood flowing through his veins, and it took sinless blood shed on Calvary's cross to wash away the sins of all mankind. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, look there with me, 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. I love this passage of Scripture, 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 21. For he hath made him, God has made his own son, he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. He didn't know any sin. He was a sinless sacrifice. That we might be made. And it was the only way possible that we could have forgiveness and cleansing of sin and escape the damnations of hell, escape the penalty of sin, the wage of sin is death. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The only way that you can be righteous before an almighty God, the only way that your righteousness gets you to heaven, not by our own righteousness, our righteousness is as filthy rags, but by the righteousness and through the righteousness of the blood of Jesus Christ, we can have access to light, eternal life. He didn't stop there. He said this, chapter 6 and verse 1, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. He's full of grace, and his grace is what we need. His love, his kindness, his unmerited favor. For he saith, I have heard thee and in its time accepted. In the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. He might not be Lord of your life, but one day if you do not bow before him in this life, you will stand before an almighty God and give an account of yourself. And the one thing that you'll know at that time, Jesus Christ is Lord. And if he's not your Lord, you will not have access into everlasting eternal life. Because his blood was not used to wash away your sins. That only takes place when you personally, first of all, believe that Jesus is who he says he is. And you, of your own free will, no one can be saved for you, no one can force you to do it. Call upon the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 1 Timothy in chapter 1, Paul writes to Timothy and he says this, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom Paul, the Apostle Paul, says, I am chief. If Paul was a sinner, how in the world can you deny the fact that you're a sinner? And that's the beginning of being saved. You can't get saved until you know you're lost. But once you realize you're a sinner and the wage of sin is death and you're lost in need of a Savior, then you can look to Jesus Christ, who came to pay your sin debt, came to be the Savior of the world. The help is, he's full of grace. And the other help here is, and we need to know this, he's full of truth. Truth is doctrine. The doctrines of this Baptist church, what we believe and what we teach and what we preach, is based on this Bible right here. Based on the words of Jesus Christ, because this is the Word, his Word. The Word that he has written down and preserved for us, and promised that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall never pass away. He's not only full of grace, and we need to preach grace, but he was full of truth, and we must preach truth. This Bible here. We hold to the doctrines we hold to, not because that's what people want to hear, but it's because it's true. For some over 2,000 years, the very same New Testament scriptures have been preserved because truth never changes. If it's true, it'll never change. God's truths will never change. Yeah. The wage of sin is death. That's truth. People don't want to hear that. They don't want to understand that there is life after death, but there is a place of heaven and there is a place of hell. That's not popular preaching, but that is truth. And he is full of truth, and that's what people need. People do not need their ears scratched. They don't need to hear what they want to hear. They don't need to be entertained when they come to church. They need to hear the truth. Yeah. Revelation chapter 20, and we're finished. This is truth. This is exactly what the Bible says. There's grace available. Praise the Lord for it. But unless you understand truth, you'll not receive the grace. If you don't understand that you're lost and on your way to a devil's hell, you'll never get saved. If you're blinded by somebody telling you you're going to go to heaven because you're a good person, if you're blinded to the truth because somebody says if you give enough, that'll get you there. If your good works outweigh your bad works, that's going to get you to heaven. Listen to me, that's humanism. That is not the Bible. Jesus Christ is full of grace. That is reality. That is truth. That is help. But at the same time, truth is that we're all sinners. And without the life of Christ and without receiving Him as our Lord and Savior, we do not have everlasting life. Truth is revelation. This is a revelation of Jesus Christ. This records His truth. The book of Revelation, it's a revelation not of John on the Isle of Patmos. It is a revelation of Jesus Christ. It is what Jesus said would take place in the future. It's future revelation that Jesus said, this is what's going to happen on earth. And in chapter 20, He says this, verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them." That's the Jesus. He is Lord of lords now. He's King of kings. He's presenting Himself as Lord, not as a sacrificial lamb. At this time, He is presenting Himself as Lord of lords, as He always has been, and King of kings, as He always has been. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written, the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works." There will be degrees in hell, but hell is going to be hell. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life." That's the Lamb's book of life, only placed there as the blood of Jesus Christ covered your sins, washed away your sins, that puts you in the Lamb's book of life. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into a lake of fire." That's truth. Now you might say, you still believe that? I do, because this whole Bible is true. Amen. Human wisdom is the only thing that rejects this. This is what Jesus came to teach us and to help all humanity to understand. If there was any other way, then He would have died in vain. If there was any other way, then His life was in vain. But because my Savior did not die in vain, there is no other way. And He came being full of grace. But He came being full of truth. If you believe the truth, you'll receive the grace. And when you receive the grace, you receive a Lord. And He gives unto you light, not only for this life, but He gives you light for an eternal life. This Christmas, we ought to celebrate in His great grace. But in order to do that, we have to be mindful of His great truth. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. There's fact, and it's coming. Can't deny that. No, historians do not deny that. There was fact in His coming. It impacted this world. There's tragedy, and even from the very beginning, people have rejected Him as being Savior, Messiah, Lord. People still reject Him today. But the help that He offers in every generation, for some 2,000 years now, we've had this help available. He was full of grace, and He was full of truth. If you believe the truth, you'll receive the grace. Don't leave here this morning without knowing that you have received His grace. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of Your word. I pray, God, even now that You would prick the hearts of all that are here today. You know exactly what's going on in each one's life. You know where they're at spiritually as well as physically. And I pray for them, God, that they would first and foremost be willing to accept the fact that they're on their way to hell without Jesus Christ and receive you as Savior. And then those that are saved that are not living in the light of Christ, I pray, God, that they would come back to the light and dedicate themselves as believers to living as you would have them to live. Bless now in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.